Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello and welcome to my 7 listeners. I have 7 listeners. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Honestly, I really, really do. I'm only doing this because you 7 people exist. So if you want to tell your friends, that's not a bad thing either. Hi, it's me, Kim, the doula. So this week has been a week. It's only Wednesday. My middle son is already starting to kibitz about not wanting to go to school. It's literally a month in. We're 4 weeks in. You're not dropping out. You're not dropping out. You are not. I cannot. You've got to go to school, get a marketable skill, and get the hell out of my house with a job. Anyways, I'm not going to sit here and say that parenting teenagers and young adults is harder than parenting babies or toddlers or kids or whatever. Each thing, each group, age group is hard. Each one is hard. It's just hard in different ways. And you grow and learn with each one. But my God, it doesn't end. It does not end. My kids are like 18, 20, 22, almost 23. You're never not parenting them, ever. I'm pretty sure my mom still parents me, though at this point I think I'm parenting her. There comes a time when there's a shift where you are no longer being parented and you are now the parent. So when my kids are parenting me, you can bet your sweet ass I'm going to be a nightmare for them. I'm going to work at that. I need to write this down because I will probably forget. Anyways, and he can't quit either because honestly, the baked goods he brings home are so good. Anyways, whatever. Just know that it doesn't get easier. Don't want to scare you. It does get easier. It gets different is what it gets. So anyways, this week I thought I would, in my vocal fry state with my not having much of a voice, I'm pretty sure my daughter has a cold. We've done multiple COVID tests and she doesn't have a fever or anything. So pretty sure it's not COVID. But at this point, my voice is messed up and I don't care because I don't have any, podcast sort of left in the tank to just put out there. So I'm going to have to do this with the vocal fry. All right. So I thought I'd talk about Pitocin and I don't know why. I haven't really had any interactions with Pitocin or any sort of things that have happened with Pitocin in the last little bit. But I was making my bed the other day and I thought, yeah, all right. What about Pitocin? I don't know if you can hear my squeaky chair. So usually in my classes, when we talk about Pitocin, I really have to watch how I say it because it's very easy for me to, you know, blurt out how much I hate Pitocin. And I don't want that to seem super negative, even though the word hate is incredibly negative. I know Pitocin has a place in the labor and delivery room. I get it. I've had it. I know. My son was not coming. Like, he was just not coming. And maybe if we'd left it a few more days, then, you know, maybe I would have gone into labor on my own with my first son. But by then, he would have been way too big to get out. He was already too big to get out. But I think it's used too liberally, if that makes sense. I think it's used too often when sometimes all we need is time and maybe some other sort of, you know, maybe less concrete things that we can try, like having a conversation, removing some stress, all of these things, using natural oxytocin, which I'll talk about in a second. But what is Pitocin? So let's talk about what it is at first, to start. It's a synthetic version of the hormone oxytocin. And oxytocin, as I've mentioned in the past, is the love hormone. It's that hormone that gets your uterus contracting. And it is also, so it's released in your pituitary gland. It is the hormone that is also going to, that you release when you have an orgasm. It is the hormone that is released when you do skin to skin with your baby. It's the hormone that is going to help with bonding with your baby. And it's the hormone that's going to help with feeding baby from your body. But Pitocin actually is, it's not exactly like oxytocin because it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. It doesn't have those same yummy love properties that oxytocin does. So the benefits of Pitocin is, and I hate that care providers call it oxytocin to try and make it sound like it's, you know, the exact same thing, but it's not. So the benefits of Pitocin, or basically what it's used for, is to get your uterus contracting. So if you're being induced for whatever medical reason, Pitocin is often the last step that's used. It's not usually the first step that's used. Or if your labor has started on its own, but it's stalled out. So maybe you've been chugging along and then something, you know, maybe something in your brain, something in your mind, maybe there's some stress happening and your labor kind of conks out. If that happens, then they might use Pitocin to sort of boost your contractions up or start to move things forward again. The problem with Pitocin is there's a number of reasons. And as I say, these are often glossed over. So I always say, and I probably mentioned this last week or the week before, but when you ask your care provider about what the risks are with Pitocin, don't just say, are there any risks? Ask what are all of the risks. You want to know what all of them are, even if they're not all that exciting. But the problem is sometimes we see care providers, you know, giving you what they want you to hear. And again, I think I mentioned this last week. So Pitocin contractions also are harder than natural physiological contractions. People describe them as sharp or jagged. Usually when I demonstrate this to my class, if anyone asks, you know, when you look at a regular contraction, say on a graph, it would be a nice, smooth, fresh mound line that happens. But when we're talking about Pitocin, it's like a jagged, you know, line that mounds up and then jags down. So it's very sharp. The way the contractions feel. This can make labor harder to manage. And if you wanted to do it without an epidural, this is going to make it a little bit more difficult because they're more intense, because it's not necessarily your body itself that's doing this. It's being chemically manipulated. One option that you can have for this is that if they are going to start Pitocin and you've agreed to start the Pitocin, you could try something else first. So, you know, try some nipple stimulation or using the tub or the shower to get relaxed and things like that. Try some of these other ways. So nipple stimulation is going to increase your own natural oxytocin. And of course, getting into the tub or shower will help with, you know, that relaxation that our body needs in order to go into labor. If they've broken your water, and usually what happens when they break your water and the next step is automatically Pitocin, ask for some time. Ask for time to walk around. This is sometimes just having your waters broken and then having a couple of hours to walk around. That can be very helpful in getting labor going. And then maybe you don't need Pitocin. And then maybe after a couple of hours, you still need Pitocin, but at least you tried. My dad always left me with the his, we call them Frankisms, and I'm sure this wasn't his, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. Try. If it works, great. If it doesn't, that's okay. At least you tried, and you're not going to have any regrets. Now, normally with Pitocin, they'll start it at a very low dose and then gradually increase it every 30 minutes until you have a contraction pattern of about every 2 to 3 minutes. You can ask for that increase to happen less frequently, perhaps every 60 minutes, to allow your body to get used to the intensity before they raise it up again. This can sometimes help too with how baby responds to the Pitocin, because oftentimes, well, not often, but sometimes one of the reasons why we have fetal distress in babies is because of Pitocin, because it's causing harsher contractions that are more difficult for them to manage too. And finally, as far as the bad goes, or the risks, if you were already going to have an epidural, I would suggest, and especially if you don't want to feel the harsh intensity of Pitocin contractions, you can absolutely ask to have the epidural first. So ask to have that first before they start the Pitocin. Because even if you're already going to have an epidural, Pitocin's probably going to come into the mix anyways. We already know Pitocin's going to happen. Just get the epidural first so that you're comfortable. And again, that can help relax your body and maybe less stress on baby. Now, the harsher side of Pitocin is that it can make labor more intense for baby, as mentioned. These harsher contractions can make baby sleepy after the birth, which can interrupt that golden hour of skin to skin and getting baby latched to the chest. These harsher contractions can also cause baby's heart rate to dip and put baby into distress, which, if the care providers can't fix it by turning the Pitocin off or turning it down, this could potentially lead to a surgical birth. And finally, Pitocin, because it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, it isn't helpful in bonding. It can actually block your own natural oxytocin from releasing, thus making bonding and body feeding a little bit more difficult. I often recommend, if Pitocin is being used, then skin-to-skin with baby immediately after birth is extremely important. And you can have that baby skin-to-skin with you however long you want, until it gets weird, okay? Until the baby's like, no, I don't want to be here anymore. This can help release your own natural oxytocin, which again will help with bonding and will help with body feeding. So, as they say, I'm not a huge fan of Pitocin, but I do recognize it has some uses. I would just like to see us try some other things before we throw Pitocin into the mix. So make sure that when you're talking to your care provider about what your options are for perhaps an induction or having your labor boosted if it is slowed down, talk to your care provider about your options are, or if you have a doula, ask them what their suggestions are. Okay. If you are being induced and Pitocin is in the mix, I do have a class. I do have a, this is the sales portion. I do have a virtual class on my teaching portal, Induction 101. We talk about in that sort of the reasons why inductions are done and how they're done. Oftentimes you get told, you know, oh, we're going to induce you on this day, come in on this day, but they don't really tell you exactly what's going to happen. So we talk about that. We talk about natural induction methods that can be used potentially either before the induction becomes necessary, or maybe it puts you into labor before the induction actually happens. And tips and techniques that you can use to make your induction more comfortable and maybe easier to manage. So I have a coupon code for that. And the class itself is, I can't remember, actually. I do have a coupon code, induction10, that I'll put in the show notes. And you can have a listen to that. You can have a look at that. And I'll put the link to the class in there as well. So yeah, this one's short and sweet. Mainly because I'm really just struggling to get through each day at this point with my kids and COVID and fall and all the things. And as I say, I think I mentioned last week, I have some big exciting stuff happening. So I'm trying to get through all of that too before I announce exactly what everything is. Plus working, and yeah. It's been a lot this week, so I hope your week has been not quite so much. I hope your week has been okay, and yeah, There you go, 15 minutes. I hope everybody has a good one. And again, I super appreciate you, seven listeners. You're the best. Please feel free to rate, review, and subscribe, and let your friends know. All right, have a good one, everybody. Bye.